What's good, Wager World? It's your boy, Five Star in Vegas, broadcasting live as always from beautiful Summerlin, Nevada. But my heart is always in Houston, Texas. I'm in here with the youngest man to ever manage and operate a casino sportsbook on the Vegas Strip. I call him the Boy Wonder Sports Betting, my brother from another. What's good, Casino Royale?
What's that, Five Star? What's good, what up, baby? We back here. At it again. Season 2. The Waging World missed us.
Man, we back on it. We back. I also got the day one on here, man. The OG of the Waging World. The only Sacramento Kings fan that I know. What's good, Spread Stuff?
Man, this has been a long summer. I'm excited for football to be back. And hey, speaking of the Kings, DeMar DeRozan. Not a bad pickup. I wasn't disappointed about that. So I'm definitely waiting for NFL and NBA to get started. We got about 3 more weeks to go.
Yeah, we got to hurry up. We got the designer working on the wagingworld.com right now. I got to hurry up and get that merch out. So before the Sacramento season starts, we can put your beautiful face on there as the only Sacramento Kings fan that I know, because y'all lost a lot of fans last year when you allowed old Noops to be correct when he said you guys weren't going to make the playoffs.
Yeah, that was disappointing there, but hopefully we can bounce back this year. I don't know about our playoff success, but we're going to be a much better regular season team with DeRozan.
Man, I really missed you guys, the Wager World. I've been enjoying the summer. We haven't seen you guys since April. Usually we go through the NBA, but the NBA playoffs were abysmal this year. So we decided to just go on and take over. We have to recharge. These fellas can attest that, man, this is some of the most tiresome work there is. Because if you really want to have a grasp on what's going on in the betting world, your eyes have to be on the screen, and that's never good for you, man. So we needed that time off. What did you do in your offseason, Cino?
Grinded it out in the baseball, racked up a lot of units for VIP, man. I gained a lot more members. I appreciate everybody that joined. It's been fun. Looking at the numbers, what I did 25 units in June. Did I think 30 units in July. In May, I had there like 10 units. So we profit like 60 units. Again, that's all on the 1 to 3 unit scale. We're not betting no more than $300. Not too many people doing that or producing the numbers we producing. But that's all I really, really did, man, and grinded. And in the process, man, all between we lost a friend, man. We lost a friend of the Waging World. So we dedicate this show right here to my boy Kingston. You know, got a little memorabilia up there for him and stuff. It's been tough, man. He used to be with me every day, stuff like that. So, Eric, she just been chilling with me. He just had some stuff wrong with his heart, man. That's all it was. It just didn't go too well. So, you know, shout out to the little homie. We be getting some more company soon, but, you know, the vet told us to wait. Everything I got is ashes, so I'll be rocking it. He with us forever. Waging World. Shout out Kingston, King Money. We're going to dedicate this whole season to him.
The whole season. Winning. I rest in peace, Kingston, man. Me and Kingston had a nice little bond, you know.
Most definitely.
For some reason, man, I don't know why, Spread. He always kind of like, when we all were together, he always was on me.
He just want to come to you. Hey, and it's funny.
He always loved to come to me. And I see his little gray beard right now, man. I know he's in heaven smiling down, man.
Most definitely.
He was a part of the show. That's what they don't get. Like, Kingston and Aaron's are a part of the show. If you guys are really Waging World lifers and you've been riding with us and rocking with us, then you know it's a sad day for you, as well as, you know, a member of the show is going on, man. And you know, we're going to dedicate this whole season to the homie, you know, little Kingston, man. What did you do, Spread, for your off season? What were you up to besides climbing mountains? And
I was gonna say, the first priority was to get myself in shape, because you talked about how much time we spend in front of the computers during the regular season. So I figured I would get myself, nice and lean right now, because I know I'm going to put on some winter pounds there. Thank you. Yeah. The other thing I worked on pretty much all summer was I was doing some best ball content and some best ball drafts. And of course, that's the contest where it's fantasy football, but all you do is draft. Drafted over 400 teams. I have, you know, half of them on Underdog, half of them on DraftKings. And, you know, I've been just looking at football from only a fantasy perspective. So this has been a little adjustment to me as we get ready for these shows that we're doing now, because I've only been looking at wide receivers, running backs, and tight ends, right? I got to start looking at what really matters in football, And that's the front seven and the offensive line. So I got to really dig into the real football now. But I feel pretty good about my knowledge there for the pros and cons of most of the top 200 players in fantasy.
Okay, that sounds good, man. This summer, for me, it was just a lot of, you know, kicking back, getting recharged, spending a lot of time with the family. The wife and I actually didn't travel as much as we usually do this summer. We kind of just locked in, man, on spending some time together, kind of getting a house together and things like that. I'm rocking actually the pink Sprite today for my grandmothers. You know, one of them is, you know, celebrating her heavenly birthday. My grandmother, Carrie Armstrong, that raised me. And then also my wife's grandmother and my kid's great-grandmother, the beautiful Meemaw, you know, love you, Meemaw. She's, you know, turned to beautiful 21 today. So I had another grandmother who's celebrating. So I rocked this for them today to let them know that I was thinking about them. And I was able to come spend some time when we come in to Houston. My wife's grandmother stays in Sugar Land. So, you know, we were over at her house. They had good food for us as always. Unbelievable food, man. That's one thing that I miss the most about Houston. Every time when I come back, I remember the great eating, the great culture that we have there, man. I caught up with some people, did some work on the film. That had me a lot of tied up. If you guys didn't know, I have The Dirty Third, The New Generation. It's a film that I wrote with my buddy, Derek Dixon. We've been rolling together over 2 decades, man. That's the guy who's responsible for so much culture in Houston with Rec Shop. He's the owner and the founder of Rec Shop. He's responsible for great legendary acts like Big Mo, you know, like Fat Pat, ESG, all this music would have never got to the public without Derek Dixon, my good friend. And so he and I are working now on doing the Dirty Third series. We're going to try to get that green lighted, but we've been working hard on the script. So I was in Houston dealing with that a lot this summer. But, man, I had a really good time, and it made me miss the type of fun that I have in Houston because the homie Zero had an album release party. He has a deal that he's doing right now with Rec Shop. So went by there, caught up with a lot of friends, people I hadn't seen in years in the industry in Houston. And then after that, we went to a hole in the wall, the Third Ward, and kicked it with my guy Skrilla. You know Skrilla, Cino.
Shout out Skrilla, man.
Shout out Skrilla. Big, we pulled up big, on Skrilla.
Big part of the Waging World.
Him and the homie have a spot in Third Ward over in the tray called Fro.
Skrilla the DJ, right?
Well, Skrilla don't DJ. This is High C. Shout out High C was there that night. He didn't even know I was so tucked in the corner. He would feel to see me. He'd have been screaming my name on the on the microphone. I didn't want him to know I was there. He would have been calling me by my street name. I didn't want them to know I was in the building. I was ducked out with the wife and the homie Wayno. Shout out my homeboy Wayno. But we were in the tray, man, over at Frozen Paradise. That's Skrilla's late night joint, man. We had a really good time there till about 2 o'clock. I'm talking about it's a hole in the wall. Kind of remind you of D-Bar. You know, pack to pack, and that thing was jumping, man. Some of the best music on, you know, you're going to hear best trap music. Just a great environment. I miss doing that. And me and the wife and my best friend turned up that night off there. And then we were able to ride down to Midtown over to on Richmond to my wife's best friend's place, Urban Smoke. If you guys get a chance, go by Urban Smoke. She also has Urban Social. It's two of the most popular lounges in Houston. Her boyfriend Damon is the DJ over there some nights, and man, he had us really feeling great. It's 4 a.m. in the morning. We eat big steaks, we eat unbelievable salmon dishes and things like this, and he on the ones and twos playing Currency and Larry June. We sitting back in the cigar room, man, you know, in a little private area. It was a really good time, man. It made me really miss Houston. There's nothing like home, you know. So like I say, I'm in Summerlin, but my heart will always be in Houston. Another fun thing that I always remember about this summer is the Olympics. As a little boy, I loved the Olympics. I'm going to show my age right here. The first Olympics that I remember, I was barely – I don't even remember it. I just remember a sticker because I'm probably at this time maybe 1 or 2 years old, seriously. And I can't remember exactly like the games, but I remember it was such a big deal that my sister and grandparents were talking about that the Olympics were coming to L.A., you know, and – and ends up that now LA is getting the Olympics all these years later, 2028 after this one. But what a time in Paris. If anything, the Paris show, shout out to all the women that watch The Waging World. American women are the most amazing women in the world. They dominate all of their sports. Unbelievable game with France, almost as good as the guys' game, right, against Serbia, with it coming right down to the end. Women bring home the gold in the basketball. The track, they dominated. Just a great time watching those girls run. Sha'Carri Richardson, Abby and those girls. All of those women are just unbelievable athletes, man, and I really enjoyed the Olympics, and it made me remember as a child how much I really enjoyed watching.
I had a great time, too. One thing that I always take away from it, I think the FIBA rules are so much better. They don't reward the foul baiting. And I thought that it was better because you really get to see how talented our players are when they don't get bailed out. They adapt and they overcome. And I thought it made for a better product overall. And who could forget that semifinal game against Serbia? That was one of the best games we've seen in the last 10 years. Overall, a great experience to watch the Olympics. I always enjoy the swimming, even though that doesn't always translate the best to the TV. Another one where we saw the American women do once again. And, boy, some of the track and field, I mean, it didn't even look close. It reminded me of my buddy went down in high school, and he was a sprinter. And he told me that when Marion Jones ran, he was at the same meet as her. He said, wasn't even close how far she was winning. And we saw some of that again, where these women are crossing the finish line, just lengths ahead of the other competitors. So a great showing for America overall. And it just made me long for a little more of the FIBA style rules over here in our NBA.
Indeed. You watched the Olympics, you know.
Man, to be honest, 5-star, I've been so locked in and grinding with VIP and on this MLB. I ain't watched too much of the Olympics, but I did get to see Goat Biles. I had to, you know, watch Simone Biles do her thing. Of course, I watched Team USA. That was a must-watch. And the track, I watched all that. And I had another moment that we're going to talk about. We need to talk about some exciting moments in the Olympics. I'll bring that up in a little bit.
Okay.
All right.
All right, man. Well, you know, we got so much going on in the world of sports, man. And that's, you know, we're here for the wage where everybody taps in us. It's always, you know, it's us versus the machine. Nothing going to ever change on that. And it's always us doing it for the underground and the underdogs, man. College football realignment is going on. We got a new college football playoff system. Speaking of that, man, let's go on and jump into 1987 Regal. And let's take it to the past, man.
All right. And 5-star, it's a bittersweet day for me because I'm sure I will adjust to it. But after the best showing that we've had as a Pac-12 football conference, to get disbanded this year is pretty disappointing. Hopefully it's for the best. And, of course, I think that everyone agrees that the new college football playoff system is going to be for the best because – we had got to a point, right? We were probably having problems handicapping these bowl games, and you were telling me, Spread, I can't give you the pick until they go out there for warmups, because so many of these kids are sitting out. Yeah. Now the top players are going to continue to play, and I think that's the best thing. And I understand why. If you're going to go to the NFL, why would you risk injury, right, in the New Mexico Bowl or whatever?
Right.
So, you know, a little bittersweet because I'm disappointed about my beloved Pac-12 disappearing. But with the new college football playoff, it should be an exciting season.
It's definitely going to be an exciting season. A lot of changes. We're going to go through each one of these conferences, you know, as the year goes by. Right now, let's think about and look back to, you know, last year's champion first, man, and that's the Michigan Wolverines.
Michigan!
Zeno, you hit it. Zeno was on Michigan all year long. Give us a quick breakdown of Michigan's championship run, Zeno.
That was nuts, man. Harbaugh came out, and I told you it was all part of the story. Everybody thought I was crazy, and I just kept saying Michigan. I jumped on Michigan actually in October, real early, and you get all the proof is there, all the footage is there, and man, they did everything they had to do. It was tough. I can't remember which game it was, but it was Harbaugh. He moved on, man. I'm excited to talk about that in the show too.
And we are
talking about college football and stuff with the, what y'all think about the new playoff bracket? It's a 2-year contract, right? I think it's until 2025. They added 12 teams. Like, what's up with that? What if they're testing it out? What if it don't work? They're gonna go back. Like, it's
I don't see how it doesn't work. How does it not work? We're so hungry for college football. Come 2 weeks from now, we're gonna be watching week zero, and I don't know the teams off the top of my head, right? But it's gonna be like Fresno State versus San Jose State, and it's gonna like beat the NBA playoffs in ratings.
Most definitely.
I don't see any way how this doesn't work. And like I said, now these programs, we get to see the top players for one more game, because before they had no incentive to play, and a lot of the top players were sitting out. And Five Star and I were kind of lamenting it during our December shows last year. It was really hard for us to get down on the action because there was so much changing as these players continued to pull out. And a lot of times it would be a day or two before the game. We would talk about it on a Monday, and he'd be like, oh, we're going to be on this team. And then he'd text me, hey, get out. Yep. Quarterback's not playing. Three linemen ain't playing. Wide receiver's not playing, you know. And it made it really tough, not only for us as bettors, but for the fans, because they want to see their favorite players. They want to see the quarterback that they watched all year.
Yeah.
And he's sitting out, and it was just rough. So I think that I can't see how this doesn't work.
Yeah, and like you said, I can't wait till week zero. For one, it's my birthday, August 24th. So that's a great present for myself on that day.
Actually, the
early game is going to be pretty good. You got Florida State and Georgia Tech. You know, Florida State is going to have a new look at quarterback going with DJ Uiagalelei.
My boy.
So good luck with that. But for them, if I've been telling that fan base all offseason, they're going to be disappointed in DJ Uiagalelei unless Coach Cornrows can do some real magic with him, man. I don't see how in the world he turns that guy into a big factor. Don't get me wrong. He was decent at Clemson, but never national championship type of team. They play Georgia Tech. Georgia Tech has a really good coach over there in Brent Key. Michigan, a lot of turnover going on. Harbaugh bailed out just like you said they were going to win all year. I've been saying all season long that he was setting up the team to give it to the OC so he could be the first black coach of Michigan history, and he was going to cheat and do everything he could so he could make his exit. And that's exactly what he did. Now he's received all these penalties, and now Michigan, of course, isn't penalized because he's gone. And, it's like they're telling him he can't come back to campus, can't coach another team for a little period of time. But who cares? He's in the NFL, so the rich continue to get richer in the NCAA. That's all I can say with that. When they have a new quarterback this year in the maze and gold, so we'll see how that works out for them. A lot of people weren't that high on, J.J. McCarthy when he came out. I know I always thought he was a really good player that just was playing within the system, and I think he showed it a little bit this past preseason. Just quickly, off the college championship, how about those rookie quarterbacks that we got coming to the league? They all looked pretty good this past weekend. I know this is preseason, but if you watch football like I watch football and have an eye for quarterbacking, it's instant that you can see it with these guys when they step into the speed of the linebackers, the defense, the safety, being able to feel comfortable under the pressure. And I felt like all of the guys that were drafted handled it really well. The most interesting thing for me was Joe Milton.
Man, that's what I was about to ask you.
Joe Milton going to do to Drake May the same thing that happened with Kirk Cousins and RG3, does he become the big money man and Drake May end up, not as successful in the NFL? What do you think, Cino?
Man, Five Star, great minds thinking like, bro, hey, I dropped dead. I was just about to – I actually got Joe Milton put up on my screen right now on the other one. And, man, bro, he looks so phenomenal for him to come out there to do for a touchdown. The way he was running and getting out of the pocket and making sure he get first downs, the scrambling – big sleeper. And I see a lot of the critics and stuff saying that, it was another guy before Joe. They was comparing him to him. And they were saying Joe Milton might be just like him, a bust. And I don't believe it. It's like I say, it's time for a change. And I think they made a mistake. Dream me. They could have used somebody else for that pick.
And Spreads, you know that you and I have been on Jaden Daniels. You remember our first season doing the Wager World, I want to say 2020, 2021 season, I was telling Spread, asked me about the draft. Who do you like the best out of all the quarterbacks. It was a down quarterback year that year. And I told him, I like from Arizona State, Jaden Daniels. You remember that spread? Yeah. Mm-hmm. What do you think about Jaden Daniels?
I thought they all looked good. I talked to you about best ball, and I had okay exposure to Caleb Williams. And I watched it, and I said, I got to get more of this guy. And it's not that I was down on Caleb's talent. I was just a little worried about the offensive line play there. But both Jaden and Caleb showed, because Jaden probably has a worse offensive line than Caleb over there in Washington.
Yeah.
And they showed that these are the type of guys that can get things done even with mediocre line play. And we'll tie that right back into Joe Milton. With the Patriots also having a below average line, I think that's where Milton's strength can come in with his ability to create in a broken down pocket. So we saw some of this. That's the thing. If you're a top quarterback, you're not going to necessarily be going to a top team. And it just showed how much the ability to move and make throws on the move. It doesn't have to be running for 100 yards a game, right? I thought that Caleb showed that he can get out of the pocket just like Mahomes does and just create enough space to make the throw. And I think that Jaden Daniels is going to be really good. I think if Kingsbury screws this up, it's got to be on him because he's got all the tools there. And that's my main concern, right? Because yeah. We saw what he did with Kyler, and yeah. I wasn't that impressed. Now, my only hope is that with him not running the whole team and just worried about the offense, that he can make it work. But you have to like what you see, and I think these all guys are all going to be really good. It's just a question of how long.
He's a super smart guy. The great thing for Washington is this. They have the right head coach. I firmly believe that, you know, he learned so much going to Dallas for those 2 years, but people forget before that that this guy, you know, was a Super Bowl coach. And Atlanta really had that game won, if not for just a miracle finish by Tom Brady and the Patriots, a finish that only Tom Brady could have pulled off, right? So he could have easily been a Super Bowl winning coach. He's shown that he can be outstanding, you know, in this league. So the defense is going to be good. He's going to be a good leader for that team. And I think this he'll be able to kind of coach Kingsbury into doing a better job, because only thing wrong with Cliff's a super smart guy. Everyone knows that. Thing is, he's too loose. He gets too friendly with these guys. And if you have an immature guy that Kyler was at the time, they're going to push it as far as they can and take advantage of that kindness. Whereas I don't think that Mahomes played as well at Texas Tech because he wasn't, you know, probably as sharp as you would have liked him at the way that Andy Reid has, where he sees the field and sees the game. He was more playing on natural talent. But Kingsbury did do a good job of getting him drafted. He still went to the NFL, and he still, you know, has been the best quarterback of our time. And Kingsbury still had his hand in that. He's had his hand in a lot of really good quarterbacks. So, you know, as much as we know he's a frat boy and likes to have a good time, the guy knows, you know, quarterback, and I think he's going to do okay with Jaden. But the main thing is, like I said, is the head coach is going to be able to control him. Caleb Williams is one of those guys that's just mature, you know, beyond his years. He's been waiting for this moment his whole life, and he's prepared and he's ready for it. Brady and him are very close. He's taken on Brady's whole lifestyle to try to, you know, be pliable, not get injured, last a long time. He's already taken over the Bears locker room. He had the veterans cleaning up. I've never seen that before. That reminds me of a story where I came from one of the craziest classes in school. My high school class was like, we were different. We were just rowdy, man. And I remember when we got to school, the junior varsity team said that they were going to initiate us as freshmen. And instead of them initiating us, we said we were just going to bring it to them. We just ran in their locker room and jumped them, right? Like the first day of practice, football practice, right? And that's kind of what Caleb Williams did with the Bears. Like, they don't haze him or anything. He made them clean up the locker room. Like, you guys are filthy pigs. So, whatever Ryan Pace has passed down to the coach, and the coach has passed down to the team, Eberflus is not allowing them to, you know, haze old Caleb Williams. He's the leader already. They've given him free reign. Michael Penix Jr. You guys know how big I am on Michael Penix Jr. Everyone tried to knock the Falcons for drafting him. They knew what they were doing. Kirk Cousins is older. Injury proof. Why not have two good quarterbacks if you can have them? Because Penix looks like he's ready to step right in and be the starter tomorrow if need be. Pinpoint accuracy. We know he can't move as much from the knee problems. J.J. McCarthy, he's going to open up and show more of his game. Reminds me of Justin Herbert. He's, you know, accurate. He can run more than people think. He's faster than people think. He's bigger than people think. I think J.J. McCarthy is going to do really well in Minnesota with the type of head coach that he has over there. Really sharp guy who, you know, knows the position well. And then we go to Denver. You know, my ex-love, Sean Payton, coach of my New Orleans Saints for many, many moons, has a guy that I was down on. I was probably the hardest Bo Nix detractor in the world. Proof that coaching means so much to these kids. He wasn't being coached well at Auburn. I'm sure with his daddy being the man that he was at Auburn and how popular he was, feeling so much pressure, he does the best thing he could have ever done in his career, and he goes far out west. As a Southern boy that's been around Auburn as a kid his whole life, he goes to the wacky Northwest and goes to Oregon, and it changes his whole life because he's coached properly. And now I'm seeing all the tools that people talked about Bo Nix when he was, you know, a recruit coming into Auburn, and he's going to shine. Bo Nix, you have earned my respect, kid. I watched you last weekend. Sean Payton has him on point. He's faster than we think. He's stronger than you think, and he has a really good arm, and he's super accurate. So watch for Bo Nix, big things. And then my Saints might have a steal of the draft with Spencer Rattler. You know, guys know I've always said I think he's a pro quarterback. Unfortunately, he got behind Caleb Williams. Very competitive kid. He's always been a top tier quarterback amongst these guys. He was the number one guy in high school. He was the number one guy in all these camps, and he still carries that arrogance, man. I think that arrogance that he holds, that chip there on his shoulder that he holds, he's going to, you know, carry to New Orleans, and he'll soon be replacing Derek Carr and be the starting quarterback for the Saints. And I know that you'll be happy when that happens, right, Sino?
Oh, my God. Like I said, it seemed like everywhere I go, Derek Carr go. When I moved here, I'm like, he there, and he gone back home to Louisiana. Jesus Christ. We need a new person snapping the ball over there at New Orleans. Super Bowl going to be out there too, 5-star. You going to check it out?
No, indeed. I'll be right here betting.
Grinding. Let's go.
Yeah, I ain't going to New Orleans. You know that. I love New Orleans City, but I'm not going there for Super Bowl time. No, sir. And then we talked about what's going on with Joe Milton. And of course, in the battle he got with Drake May, we'll see how that happens. Also, in the past, while we're here, we're talking pro ball. Chiefs win back-to-back. And just like you got your victory lap with Michigan, Sino knocking hit you with the, I told you.
Boy, you was all over Kansas City. Lord, you had Kansas City in game. I never forget, man, you did. They paid some bills for you. They paid some vacations for the summer for you.
Yeah. They got a little turnover on the roster, but mostly it's good turnover. They added some weapons. Hollywood Brown already is hurt. We knew that was going to happen. They get the kid Worthy out of Texas to give him some more deep ball threats. We know that Rice is going through his things, but I think Rashee Rice is on the verge of becoming a big-time receiver in this league. It kind of goes with the territory. It's almost like being a star receiver is like being a rapper. Like you got to catch a case first. And it's like you got to get in some negative publicity before you get the big check. You know, Rashee Rice is right. Where he needs to be right now, and he's on the verge of breaking out, I think. What do you think about the Chiefs coming up this season, Spread? Do you think they can go three-peat?
You got to think that they can. You got to love what they did, adding those weapons on offense. I've been high on Xavier Worthy. Now, I'm not saying that he's going to be a top 10 guy, but I think he's going to make his presence known at least 5 to 7 games this year. And for where they got him in the draft, I think that that's all they need from him. I saw that Hollywood Brown had a small setback there during the first preseason game or during camp, but I still expect him to be there. So they've upgraded that weapon around him. Pacheco just continues to improve. What a great seventh-round pick, and kind of showing why some of these teams are trying to find their running backs later, because, arguably a top 10 running back in the league there, and they got him in the seventh round. The big concern for the Chiefs will be Ladarius Sneed, the loss of him. When you watch that run, he was so important to taking away the other team's number one option and really making things so much easier for Spagnuolo. But that's the same reason that I have faith in the Chiefs, because I believe that Spagnuolo is going to be able to overcome that loss. And, you know, I always talk about the importance of line play. And if it came down to either having him or Chris Jones, you got to go with the big guy in the middle, because I can throw to a different I can throw away from Snead. Chris Jones, you have to account for on every single play, and you can't just simply ignore his side of the field. So I like the Chiefs to come back, and of course anything can happen. But it seems to me, although they lost Snead, with those weapons, they're kind of going back more to their personality under Andy Reid, and that's going to be a high-scoring offense, and I think they're going to get right back to that. I'm pretty high on Mahomes in best ball. I think he's really going to bounce back this year and have a top statistical season as well.
What about you, Cino?
I learned my lesson. It's so simple. You can't bet against Patrick Mahomes. I don't give a damn who he got on the field. He could have me 5-star and spread. You can't bet against the man. Simple as that. Like, he's just a GOAT. He destined to win. He's going to make it happen. When he lost Tyreek Hill and all the other good players, people thought he was going to have some trouble. The man win another championship. I learned my lesson. Can't bet against him. Riding that wave, I'm riding the train. It's either, again, it's him or Perry. Simple as that.
Yeah, and I think that the 49ers, we're going to talk about breakdown the NFC West. We go to the present. I think that the 49ers have a small step back this year. I really do. And I think that they get beat up a little bit right there in the division. As far as the Kansas City Chiefs are concerned, every year you got Andy Reid, you got Patrick Mahomes, you got a chance. My worry with them is now philosophy changes. Last year, they won a completely different way than they ever won before, and they leaned on their defense, right? They, you know, played small ball, got it done. Them playing that way made Patrick Mahomes even more efficient and more of a winner. We know that he can sling. We know he can, you know, throw the ball over the field. Now that they have these weapons and these new gadgets, does Andy Reid kind of forget about Pacheco? Does he forget about the style that they were playing last year to win the championship that had them prepared to play a team as physical as the 49ers in the Super Bowl? And now does he get back to the old Andy that we saw with the Eagles, where you got 30 passes a game and 10 runs and you're so unbalanced that teams catch up? That's my only worry with them. Besides that, we know, you know, they're destined for greatness every year. They're going to get at least to the AFC Championship every season. They have every year that Patrick Mahomes has been there. Kelce continues to get a little bit older. We'll see if he loses a step or not, but he has some brand new weapons to play with, man. And as I said, I think the ascension of Rashee Rice really opens up that offense.
And just one more thing for Kelce, just Xavier Worthy being on the field, even if he doesn't put stats up, is going to help him a lot. Because Worthy's going to command some attention over the top, and we know that Kelce's a master of finding the holes in that zone. I wouldn't be surprised if he had a little better season statistically. It seemed like last year he pulled an NBA, right? He just cruised through the regular season and then started playing. I think that we'll see a better regular season from Kelce this year.
Yeah, I could see that definitely. All right, man, we're going to go ahead and charge up the new Tesla truck. I don't know how safe it is.
Recalls.
We might have a recall, but we're going to go ahead and we're going to float to the present. All right, Spread, talk to him.
All right, let's talk about the Mountain West Conference real quick. The 2023 champs were Boise State. Six of the 12 teams have new head coaches. And we got, from my old Pac-12, Oregon State and Washington State are joining the Mountain West. What do you think of this conference going forward? I have the odds pulled up, but give me your overall view of some of the best players, and then we'll look into maybe some of the best ways to approach betting on the Mountain West Conference this year.
Well, they have a chance finally to have someone come from this conference and get to the playoffs with the, you know, the growth of the playoff system. Strangely, though, they're not the highest ranked of the teams that are out of the six highest rated conference, the Sun Belt Conference. So that's something to keep out. You got, I think, Appalachian State over there.
Really?
Yeah, yeah, they're high. They're higher ranked.
You are in the Sun Belt. I didn't know that.
Yeah. So they're higher ranked, but you know, we got more eyes on the Mountain West. It's strange now. Mountain West is the most West conference, because I'm not going to count the Big Ten as West yet. I just can't accept that and grasp and say that UCLA, USC, and Oregon, because they're in the Big Ten, the Big Ten is the, you know, West Conference. I say still the Mountain West now, with all teams from our area of the world where we live in Las Vegas, you know, the Nevada, Utah, I call it the most beautiful part of the country. I love it in this area of the world. It's really slept on, but it's really peaceful and it's really family friendly around here.
Yeah, for real, for real.
Yeah, so the Mountain West is, you know, that conference is representing this area, and it's the farthest west conference. As usual, Boise State, they won the championship last year. They won in the conference tie. They blew out our UNLV Rebels, who are really, man, the Rebels, you better watch them. They're coming up since they got Barry Odom. Great hire. Barry Odom has changed that thing around. UNLV is fast and physical now, and with the location, you know, and the money that they have pumping in from the Fertittas, you know, they're getting some really, really good players over there. Watch Ricky White, their receiver. He's a star player. He will play on Sundays. But Boise State, I think their offense depends on one thing that can really get them to the playoffs, and that's if Malachi Nelson can live up to the billing. I don't know if you guys are familiar with this kid or not. He was one of the top-ranked quarterbacks coming out the California area. He went to USC, ended up, you know, transferring to Boise State. Boise State's probably the biggest transfer pickup in the history of their program. If he can live up to the billing and be the guy, they have a lot of players around them, including Ashton Gentry, who's a tough running back. He's like a bowling ball. And this kid really runs tough. He was the offensive player of the year in the conference last year. So look for them to do their thing. As I told you, UNLV is always tough at home in the last couple of years. They did lose a big-time quarterback, man, in Jaden Maiva. He went to USC. And I don't even know if he's going to be the starting quarterback of that. I know that kid can play. He can spin it. He was very mature for his age. UNLV will miss him. He's going to be replaced by a kid, Hodge Malik Williams. He played at Campbell, which you guys probably know from the NCAA tournament basketball. It's a basketball school, a little small Southern Conference school. I don't know much about this kid. He's 6'1", senior. Say he's a dual threat. If he can play, he has all types of weapons, you know, behind him. Jaden Thomas is a really good running back. Like I said, Ricky White. They got DeJesus outside. They got some players at UNLV. And they have a really, really, really good defensive player in Jackson Wooder, man. This guy is big time. Expect him to play also on Sunday. So watch UNLV for sure. My sleeper in that conference has got to be what you got to talk about Air Force and Fresno State. They're constants in that conference. They're always going to be good. But my sleeper is Colorado State. Jay Norvell is a really good coach. If you know about Jay Norvell, you know how competitive he is. He took those teams in Nevada and made Nevada the best team in that conference for about three straight years, where you could lay them every night on the blowout. Late night, if you have been losing, that's, you know, you down, just go get the over and Nevada late night. And it was good, you know. And you could take back then to the undone San Jose State every game.
So, oh, that was so easy.
But Colorado State is the sleeper. They got Torrey Horton. He's probably the best receiver in that conference. He'll be up for the Biletnikoff Award. 6'3", playmaker, great catch range. They have their quarterback back, Fowler Nicolosi. He can sling it if he can, you know, protect the ball, not turn the ball over. The key for them is how good can they be on defense. You know, everyone remembers Henry Blackburn. He knocked out Travis Hunter. But he's the best player in that defensive backfield. He's back as a starter. He's an enforcer in the back. They give up too many points. If Colorado State can slow people down, they'll be in the two. I'm going to get out there on this one. Spread, tell them what's the odds. I'm rolling with – I'm going to take a fish. Because I'm going to say that, what if Malachi Nelson isn't the player everyone thinks he's going to be? This is his first time, you know, being a starting quarterback. He's a freshman, highly touted. He got to go through his bumps and humps unless – he's that special, which he might be, but I don't know. And so with that said, you know, when we're doing futures, guys, it's always about the number. If you can find value, then it's a great investment and a tick to hold on to. Just like last year, right after the season finished in the NFL, I grabbed the Texans to win the Super Bowl. And now that ticket is gold. Offseason moves that the Texans made in the front office, the moves that they made with free agency. They're just doing everything right over there. And so now everyone's on them. And that ticket that I had has doubled in value. So I'm going to roll with UNLV. Once again, we're betting on a quarterback who we haven't seen. But the thing about the quarterback for UNLV who's transferring is that he's a senior with many seasons started with Campbell. He has gotten a lot more snaps than the kid has at Boise State. So we're going to go with UNLV. Barry Odom is a defensive coach. He's going to come up with a way to slow down Boise State this year. We're going to take them in. What's the odds, Britt?
All right. UNLV plus 650. Colorado State plus 1600 over at Bet Online. What do you think of those plays, Cino?
Oh, that's some great plays. Plus 1600, I definitely take that. I was just line shopping, and I seen that Caesars have it at plus 1200. But five-star, I'm definitely with you on that Colorado State play. It seemed like I've been around you too long, man. You're rubbing off on me.
That's what happens, right?
Yeah, nah, right. I'm talking about, like, for real, when he said Colorado State, I'm like, damn, what? When he said Joe Milton, I'm like, damn, what?
Yeah.
I've learned so much from five-star, man. I'm so grateful.
But you forget. How long have we been friends, man? Think about it, man. We talk about all the stuff.
All the time. You're right.
Yeah, I don't even have to worry about how you been. Never. Like, check on them. Think about it. I never say who you taking, what you got going. Because I already know got the system.
I'm blessed with this. And all my people in VIP, man, I'm truly, truly blessed. I can't thank y'all more, man.
Already, man. Shout out to the VIP. Shout out to the Supreme clientele. The solid eight that's always there. And then we've had a little fluctuation on my other 2 to 4 spots that I allow, but I might just lock in because I've been doing really good at the books, and I don't know if I want any new energy. I think I'm going to stay where I'm at, but the wageringworld.com is coming soon. You guys look for it. It should be up probably right around the beginning of football season. NFL season, that is, not college, the beginning of the NFL season. You guys will be able to go there. You'll be able to see the picks from myself, from Spread, from Cino. You'll be able to get into the Supreme clientele, join for a daily package, for a week package, or for a monthly package, and you'll have all the merch, like that beautiful golden hat that you see on Cino's head right now that says Live from Summerlin. My little pitch that I do for the community that I've been residing in since I moved to Las Vegas. And we got other things coming, like It's Us Versus the Machine, Oatmeal Beats No Meal, Underdogs in the Underground, and of course, Kick the Damn Extra Point. All right, man. Let's go on and get into this NFC West, Brett.
That's right. The Niners won last year. That's 2 seasons in a row they've won the NFC West. But we've had a little bit of shakeup there. You talked about players running or coaches running from NCAA violations to run to the NFL. Well, that's exactly what outgoing coach Pete Carroll did so many years ago. And boy, I could be wrong, but off the top of my head, I think that he was the longest tenured coach last season with Belichick retiring. And I could be wrong. Yes, you correct me if I'm wrong.
Him or Tomlin.
Yeah, it's him or Tomlin. But I thought Tomlin was a little later. So we'll have Mike McDonald there coming over from Baltimore Ravens. But I think the more important coaching change is that he's bringing in former University of Washington offensive coordinator Ryan Grubb. And I feel like that's going to change the way that the Seattle Seahawks play football, especially on the offensive end. Five-star, we saw it as they ran all the way to the national championship game last year. Grubb was able to get all 3 wide receivers involved, and we saw all 3 of them get drafted, and we're expecting high things from them in the NFL. So he knows how to get multiple receivers involved. He's not afraid to push the ball down the field. Could be a little change from that Pete Carroll Seahawks that we know ran the more conservative, defensive, run-first approach. So we've got that going on in Seattle. Let's talk about what do you think from the Niners, and how are you expecting Mike McDonald to change the fortunes of the Seattle Seahawks? Let's start with you, Five-Star.
I personally love the Seahawks this year. I already have a ticket on them to win the division. What do you have up for your line right now, Spread? What's the live number now right now?
Pull that up. I see
plus 800 over at Caesars.
Yeah, it's probably going to be a little lower for me.
Oh, that's beautiful. We get 8-1 in town. I got it at 10-1. Now it's at 8-1. I got it right after the hire, after they switched the regime, because I'm really high on Mike McDonald, man. I like him in Michigan. I like him in Baltimore. I think he's one of those guys who couldn't wait to get in a position to run his own thing. I think he's a super smart guy. And I think that he's one of those few defensive coaches that, even though He does a hell of a job, and his expertise is on the defensive side of the ball. I think he's smart enough and wise enough to also pay attention to the offensive side of the ball. They're loaded on offense. I love the offense weapons for the Seahawks. Now it's about, you know, Geno Smith being able to distribute. He's always been a pretty good point guard. If you give him time, he throws one of the prettiest balls in the league, very accurate. Thing about Geno is he never forgot that he's been a backup and paid his dues in the league. So he moves as not a diva quarterback. He's one of the guys that's, you know, part of the team, you know, every man's type of quarterback. And I think that that does well with a team with such stars on the outside like DK Metcalf, Tyler Lockett, Jackson Smith and Gimba. You know, like those guys are really good players. And, you know, Metcalf is the flashy, loud guy on the offense. You saw him and Geno get into it before on the sidelines. But Geno's temperament is perfect to lead that team. And if something goes wrong and he doesn't do what he's supposed to do and he falls back, which I don't expect, then Sam Howell be there. Sam Howell is one of the best backup quarterbacks in the league. Young guy that can sling it, can move around a little bit. Washington moved off of him and decided to go with Jaden Daniels. And I think that he'll be better for it. And I think that Sam Howell will do well sitting behind Geno Smith, learning from him. Most importantly, you got defense. I think this Harrell left the cupboard full on the defensive side of the ball. And we saw the type of defenses that Mike McDonald has produced before. He's one of the sharpest defensive coaches that you've seen. He kind of reminds me of Sean McDermott coming in, but I think he's a little bit more sharper than McDermott. McDermott is good, but he kind of plateaus in the biggest games. I think that this guy's going to show people he can coach. He has the best defensive backfield, in my opinion, in this division. You got Reed Woolen back there. You got Devon Witherspoon in the slot. They just picked up Julian Love, which is a big pickup for them at free safety. I just like everything that's going on out there for Seahawks, and I think that they're going to upset a lot of people. Kenneth Walker is a star. He has a great backup in Zach Charbonnet. They're just loaded on offense and defense, man. Byron Murphy's over there now. They're a really good team, man.
When you talk about Geno Smith, he was first last season in pass rate above expected. So that's advanced analytics. But basically what that's saying is he's really accurate. That's what that statistic is telling you, is that he throws one of the most accurate balls in football. And I remember last season when we were doing our previews, I said, 5-star, I'm a little worried about the Ravens losing Wink Martindale as he went over to New York. I said, that guy's really good. And you said, don't worry at all. This kid's coming in. It's just as good and maybe better. And now 1 year later, they're calling him the Kyle Shanahan of defense, and he was one of the hottest head coaching prospects out there. So you got to like things for Seattle, and it looks like you're better off betting out there with you over here on Bookmaker, the offshore. They're only plus 621. So Seahawks taking a little bit of money offshore, and they've moved that line. Still 8-1 if you're living in Vegas. What do you think, Sino?
49ers. Simple as that. The experience that they had last year against the Kansas City Chiefs, the way they lost with the new overtime rules, man, I think this team will definitely come out with a vengeance. Again, they're a heavy, heavy favorite to win the division. You know me, I'm a numbers guy. I don't see no other body in that division. I don't give a damn what changes they made to all these other teams. Brock Purdy, he's going to step up and make some decisions. He have to. 5-star, you showed me last year, he not that. But with the players around him, you know, he could be something, man. He could be something, and they could keep the team together.
Only thing I worry about is Trent, man. If no Trent Williams, if Big Boy don't come in, if they don't give him the money he want, he's going to retire.
I think they'll give him the money. I think that's going to be like Bosa was a year ago. The concern, or not concern, but the question mark that I have is Ayuk, because all summer I've been on these best ball shows and saying, no, Ayuk's coming back, man. Don't even worry about that. This is all smoke. There's no fire. And now it's looking like that might happen. And we're looking at a one-year deal. That's got to be a downgrade. I really don't understand why they're not paying him and why they're even exploring this, only because the window is now.
Their window is closing fast.
Yeah, because once Purdy gets off that rookie deal, you're not going to be able to afford any of this. The other thing I'm worried about,
they're going to have to pay him. Like, you're going to have to get a debt contract for sure.
For real.
Oh, yeah, he's going to get paid. I mean, and that's going to change everything. And we've seen how that debt contract negatively affected the Cowboys as they went from having the best offensive line and that elite defense to having, you know, an above average line and above average defenses. They couldn't afford to pay everyone. Also, McCaffrey, man, don't overlook this. He's coming off 400 touches last year, and he's already going to be out this year. Now, I understand that that's precautionary, and he'd probably play if the regular season was here. But it is a guy who's had injury concerns in the past, and I'd say it just as important as Trent is. That's how important McCaffrey is to that offense. I'm really high on Debo this year. He came into camp looking sharp like he did 2 years ago when he really was a fantasy superstar. I think he's going to have a great season regardless. But the 49ers have never been about one player. They've been about a team, and they need all those guys on the field and contributing. So I can see where some of the question marks are going to come in for this team. And poor Kyle Shanahan, man. I know the way that he looked going into that week last year. I mean, he looked dead going into the Super Bowl, like he didn't sleep for the 2 weeks beforehand. I know this was just a tumultuous offseason for him, as he probably relived every play call in his head over and over again as he came up short once again. And I wonder at what point the wear and tear on him mentally really begins to break down with this team. So while the 49ers are the rightful favorite at around minus 200, you know, there's plenty of paths I could see where they do not repeat as division winners.
Yeah, I don't think they do. And they had a lot of, you know, change on their defensive line. Malik Collins is a really good player, played for Houston, Texas, but he replaces Arik Armstead, who's a really good player. They switch out because Armstead goes to Houston. And then you have Chase Young. Chase Young was balling for them in the playoffs. He's gone. Can Leonard Floyd still rush the passer at the level that he once did? That's a question that I want to see. And I don't know about Shanahan. Sometimes you hear the message over and over and over, and after you keep coming up short, your message becomes to fall on deaf ears. It's some unhappy players in that locker room. Ayoub is not coming back. He's going to figure out a way. He declined a trade, and they're trying to mess over him and send him places he don't want to go. But I guess some type of way he must have like a – I don't think he has a no-trade clause because it's a new deal. But he some reason he vetoed a trade that was supposedly on deck for him to go to Cleveland.
I don't know if he vetoed it. He just told New England that I'm not going to re-sign, so don't bother.
Yeah.
They offered him a $30 million a year extension. He said, I'm not resigning.
And Cleveland did as well. Cleveland did as well. And
Pittsburgh offered him $28 million. He was like, I'm like,
yeah, he wants to play for the Steelers, or he wants to play with his homeboy, Jaden Daniels, in Washington. So he's going to force his way into one of those spots, but he will not be a 49er next year. I don't even think that they can give him the money to make him change his mind. It's like personal at this point, it seems like, with him. And Trent is a guy, I know Trent personally. I haven't talked to him in, man, years. I probably haven't talked to Trent in about 7-8 years. But when we used to hang, I know what type of dude he is, and he likes to stand on his principles. And I remember how pissed off he was with Washington about the injury situation that he was dealing with when he went and got the surgery and he got infected and all of the lies they told. You know, that's what ended up why he ended up leaving Washington, because if it was up to Trent, he wanted to play for one team his whole career, help Washington build their thing back up, you know, and lead them to the promised land. He really liked that area. He was a friend with a lot of guys in that area. He had a studio out there and everything in D.C. So he ended up moving to, you know, San Francisco because they didn't treat him right at that Washington franchise. The 49ers better be careful with what they're doing with Trent Williams. Make sure that he's happy. He's a guy that you guys really need in the lineup in order to be successful, because we know that if Purdy gets any pressure, he's going to throw the ball up for grabs. What do you think about Sean McVay? Sean McVay and the Rams, they're kind of under the radar right now. He's a sneaky guy. A lot of people forget that he's one of those guys that already is a young coach, already has his own tree, you know, kind of like Shanahan. He kind of has his own tree. Him and Shanahan are buddies, and that's his rival. Aaron Donald's gone for the Rams, so that's a lot of leadership. That's a lot of good play that's gone for their team. We know Cooper Kupp is a shell of himself. We were just talking about the 49ers and whether they were going to keep being able to run their running back into the ground. They're all pro. And I think that Shanahan kind of did the same thing that we saw McVay do with Cooper Kupp, where they like friends with these guys. They want to see them do so well, you know. The little engine that could, you know, white guy in a dominant, in a mostly black dominated league let's put up these numbers for them. Let's show them or make them the MVPs, give them these numbers. But they run them in the ground. And now Cooper Kupp isn't the guy that he used to be. He's always injured now. They've learned to play without him now because they found another star in Puka Nacua, who's on the rookie contract, but he's hurt.
How did I say he's hurt, huh?
Is that injury – how long will he be out with that injury? Anyone know?
See, I heard it's precautionary, and he'll be back week one.
Oh, I thought it was a bad injury. But so he'll be back. All right, cool.
Yeah, I think he'll be cool. Let me jump in on the Rams. You know I'm higher on McVay than you are.
No, I love McVay. No. Let's get this right. Don't say that because this is the thing. Spread, I super like McVay's coaching ability. I think he's one of the best leaders. I think he's a super smart guy, and I think he's a winner. That's why he's always won there, and he's won a Super Bowl. So though, I just hate his antics when they were winning. Remember, he was just getting on my nerves, like running up and down the sidelines with guys and all that stuff. Yeah. I didn't like that. That's it. I didn't like his antics, but I like Sean McVay, you know, as far as in the type of coach he is.
But here's my concern for McVay and the Rams, and we go back to this, right, and I'm switching back into my handicapping, no more fantasy. My concern is on the line of scrimmage, on both sides of the ball. You lost arguably the most impact player in the league. I don't care about statistics. Watch the game. The guy got triple covered every time. You know how much easier it is to drop a defense when you got your nose tackle, your defensive tackle taking three offensive linemen?
Right.
Every other player look a lot better. Now, on the offensive side of the ball, and we saw this happen last year, their offensive linemen cannot stay healthy. They've had three linemen go out of camp already. So they could be going into week one with only two starters playing, or even if these guys do get out on the field, they're not going to have that cohesiveness that you would get from playing that full training camp with each other. You know, one of the reasons I'm a little worried about Herbert and the Chargers, even if he's out there week one or two, he's missing these crucial training camp reps right now. So I'm worried that the Rams aren't going to be able to compete on the line of scrimmage on both sides of the ball. And as great as McVay is, and I think they're going to be great for fantasy, I'm worried they're going to lose some shootouts and that Stafford's going to have problems staying healthy behind that patchwork line.
And also, we got to remember that they have a new defensive coordinator as well. As their defensive coordinator ends up taking a job over at Atlanta, now is the head coach, Raheem Morris. And Raheem Morris was a big part of that success over there. He was really respected in that locker room and really loved by the guys on his side of the ball. And he was almost one of those coaches that carried so much respect and weight in his locker room that it was kind of like two teams, you know, like Sean McVay had the offense, he had the defense. So we'll see how that goes. And then we got right down the street from us, Arizona. I think that Arizona's being slept on. They're not the most talented team in the division, but they do have some talent. I think that Kyler Murray is locked in this year. Kyler Murray, you know, I'm very high on Kyler Murray, higher than most because I've watched Kyler Murray since high school, and he's always been a winner. No matter where he's been, the thing with Kyler Murray, he does not deal well with dysfunction. I spoke about previous shows about the reason why he left Texas A&M. He was uncomfortable with everything that was going on. And as we see later on with the drinking allegations and things that were going on with his head coach for the DWIs thing, that he was on point with it, right? He did not like it at A&M because they were just kind of like freewheeling, you know, Cliff Kingsbury and just freewheeling. So he transfers to University of Oklahoma, or gets a system, or gets a way better foundation, best player in the country. Gets to college, here's Kingsbury following him. After he shook him and left him at A&M, he follows him here and gets a head coaching position strictly off his relationship with Kyler Murray. Just spoke about the looseness. Kyler Murray is his friend. So now Kyler Murray's bad habits. He's on the game. He's playing around. He's hanging with Cliff too much instead of doing football stuff. He rebels. He starts telling people in the media, Cliff's not the guy. And everybody's like, oh, he's disrespecting his coach. But he's trying to tell people that it's not the stable type of franchise, not the type of guy that they need leading that team. Now he has Jonathan Gannon. Jonathan Gannon is a completely different guy than Cliff Kingsbury. Very meticulous, you know, very study-oriented, very foundational. I think we're going to see the best of Kyler Murray this year. I think that he has some weapons on the outside. We know that Marvin Harrison Jr. is a rookie. And what's the position that we see the most success coming straight from college? to the NFL. And I say that's a running back.
It's wide receiver, running back. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's I think one because it's one on one. There's not a lot. At wide receiver, you run your route. It doesn't matter what the other 10 guys do. And right. running back, you just hit the hole. You don't need to know what the other guys are doing. You hit the hole. I agree with you, five-star. I think that Jonathan Gannon is the key to this team because if you look at the roster, I don't think that the defense is that good. But he made it work last year with a defense that we didn't think was that good. So the key is going to be, can Gannon continue to basically maximize the pieces he had with that defense? And then secondly, can Kyler Murray stay healthy? Nobody argues that when he's healthy, he can't be a top five, top 10 guy, lead you guys to wins. My concern for him is being a little smaller. Is he going to be around? And I'm not even saying he'll miss games, but is he going to be beat up? And will we see some of that performance dip in November and December when the season's on the line and that wild card's got, or potentially the division is up for grabs? So there are some questions around this organization, but I think if you're the Cardinals fan, this has to be the best you felt about your team in years because you have a solid coach that's going to get the most out of the defense. And if everything goes right, AKA Murray stays healthy, you got a real shot for the playoffs.
And they have two really big players that I think that can help with everything he does. You know, when you got a really good defensive coordinator, like a defensive coach with him being the head coach, as Jonathan Gannon is, you care about your linebacker because that's your brains, and you care about your safety because that's your playmaker. They got two really good ones, and Zaven Collins is a really good player. I was on him at Tulsa, and he made it where they were able to trade Isaiah Simmons to the Giants because they had to find a way to get Zaven Collins on the field. Buda Baker is still all-pro type talent, great leader in the locker room. Not trying to bail on them now that things aren't going well. He's ready to stick out, you know, and do the process. And I think that those two guys are going to keep Arizona really competitive this year. As long as Kyler Murray stays healthy, I'll be on the Cardinals because I know they'll be catching a lot of points this season. All right, so guys, as usual, I'm on the island. I think both these guys on the Niners right to win the NFC West.
Yeah, unfortunately, I think,
I'm with 49ers. That's the way to go. Okay, so that'll be on the 49ers. And your boy, five-star, take the dark horse. We're going to go with the Seattle Seahawks. I really believe in Mike McDonald. I think his new system is going to give problems to Kyle Shanahan as he's used to playing a different type of team up in the Northwest from all those many years of battling with Pete Carroll. And I think Mike McDonald brings a couple new things to the table and is able to surprise a lot of people and wins that division. All right, guys, it's time for the people segment. You already know what it is. It's time for the ball and parlay. What you got for him, Cino?
Roll with Clayton Kershaw tonight, man. The Dodgers, they playing Milwaukee Brewers down the road. Kershaw at -110 on me. He lost his last out, and I definitely think he bounced back tonight. I've been on fire with baseball, too, man. I think I kind of got it figured out finally. It took a long time, but Clayton Kershaw, money line with the Dodgers tonight. Y'all take that.
All right, you heard Cino going with a bet that you can usually depend on, and that's the great Clayton Kershaw at Milwaukee. So we're going with Kershaw on the road against
a tough Brewers team. They got
Brewers. I never bet Brewers games because they're good, but you also don't know when they're going to lose. Even it's about they win all the games when I'm not watching. You know. All right, Larry, what you got for the ball of parlay?
The American Peyton Stearns will be in her home country going against Paula Badosa. I know that Badosa's a bigger name. I know that Badosa's had more success in her career, but on some of the quickest hard courts that you will see all year, right? Five-star, especially because they don't go to Asia as much anymore. Right. I think +4 is just way too much to be given an American that can really dial up the heat. Badosa might win this one, but I think it's going to be a close match, and I wouldn't be surprised to see Stearns get a set and make this go 3. I'd be really surprised if it goes 3 sets and she doesn't cover. So give me Peyton Stearns +4, and it's -101. So if you shop around, you could probably find a 4.5 somewhere.
All right, so you heard Spread. He's going to be rolling with Peyton Stearns and Spread. Don't be surprised if Stearns don't pull it outright, but Badosa's been really successful the last couple of tournaments. She was able to win a Miami tournament Now we're heading into the U.S. Open. A lot of the ladies and men are the top dogs. They're taking off right now. You know, getting rested because, you know, they got the last Grand Slam coming up. So that's a great pick by you going with Peyton Stearns. I'm going to also be on an American woman. Cincinnati's, it was just the oldest North American tournament, right, Spread?
Yes.
Cincinnati. It used to be called, what was it, the Western Open, right?
The Western and Southern Open.
Western Southern Open. That's when I first started watching tennis. And I remember that's what they used to call it, man. I'm an OG. So, yeah, I love this tournament. It's really one of the top tournaments that prepares these players to, you know, get ready for the last major, and that's the U.S. Open. But a lot of these players also take this time to kind of take a break because, you know, if you consider yourself a big dog, you want to win the U.S. Open. You don't want to use all your energy on these tournaments leading up to it. But this is the perfect tournament, I think, for a lady like Emma Navarro to try her best and attempt to win. So I'm going to take her. She'll be playing against young Mira Andreeva. Andreeva's a really good player, probably better on clay. She made it to the semifinals of the French Open this year. She's only 17 years old. If she turned 17, she might be still 16. She's just a little kid out there. I think that Navarro overpowers her. Emma Navarro, 15th ranked in the world. I've been on her a couple years, riding her before the Books Woke Up Tour. Really, really good player. One of the best offensive players we've seen. I think that she shows a lot of pride. She plays really well on American soil. So we're going to go with Emma Navarro. She's at a good number right now, minus 118 against Mira Andreeva. I think she blows her off the court. All right, man. Great to be back with you guys. Another season of the Waging World kicks off. We're going to be here with you three times a week, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, giving you the best in sports betting. The season kicks off, as I said, college football on my birthday on August 24th. I don't know if I'm going to make that 23rd show because I might be already on one. But that Wednesday before, we'll give you all the plays for that weekend coming up, and we'll continue to break down, you know, these conferences and these divisions. Anything for the people sitting up before we get out of here?
Oh, man, I need to shout out the hometown, man, Lafayette, Louisiana. We brought back home the gold again in the Olympics. Actually, he did it for the second time. Shout out my guy, Armand Duplantis Mondo, the pole vault. He hold Olympic record. He took it in 2020 in Tokyo, and he came back and broke his record again right here in Paris. So shout out to him, man, doing big things, Lafayette. And again, shout out to the homie King Money. Rest easy. Yeah. This whole season dedicated to you. This how we rolling.
Yes, sir. Anything for the people, Spread.
Man, I'm just glad to be back, man. I've got my juices flowing just doing this show today.
Right.
And I can't wait till we're breaking these games down week by week as the NFL season is almost here.
Hey, it's almost time. These years that go by, these calendars change, man. But one thing remains the same, and that's the Waging World. And we're going to always do it for the underdogs and the underground. It's always us versus the machine. You guys remember, oatmeal beats no meal tonight when you're making your wagers. As always, I dedicate this show to my father, the greatest Houston sports fan that I know, John H. Lindsay. And we're going to dedicate this whole season to the fallen soldier, our guy, the one and only Kingston, man. Rest in peace, Kingston. This is The Waging World.